This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the super voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Super. I feel I know where this is going.
Well, yes. I mean, I feel like I'm in esteemed goalkeeping company, Richard, because your name has been blasted over the YouTube waves, has been everywhere in the past week or so, because a certain announcement was made by a certain goalkeeper and you were right at the epicenter of that announcement. Because apparently, Richard Lee, you are a goalkeeping super agent. Who knew?
I mean, I'm more than happy with that as a label. I mean, not true at all. I'm pretty sure there is, because there are a few super agents in the world. And I've always wondered what classifies you as a super agent. Mendes being a good example. Of course, the late Raiola as well being classed as that as well. What takes you into that category? Do you have any idea?
I think someone who can pull a deal out of his backside to get Ben Foster to Newcastle, apparently, is what a goalkeeper super agent is. Apparently.
There you go. But it didn't happen. So
that's why you haven't crossed over properly into the realm of super, because the deal actually didn't go through.
It didn't go through. It was as good as done, as most people know now. So yeah, I did have a crazy back end of the week. I think I actually realised just how big the Fozcast is. You know, we spoke about it many times on the show here, and obviously very aware as to what Ben Foster is doing elsewhere. But the moment that he announced his retirement on Thursday and spoke of the story, which Ken will touch on in a second, no doubt. But the moment that he did that, my phone went crazy on Thursday and Friday. It did really make me appreciate just how big that is. A number of extra followers I got as well. Quite a number.
Oh, really?
Quite a number.
Lovely. I think on all platforms, across everything.
Well, only really used Twitter and Instagram. I don't think I've checked Facebook in about 7 years. But yeah, no, on both of them, certainly got a lot. So yeah, it was a really interesting couple of days. I think the fact that Ben made a point of calling me by my full name every time he referred to me, which actually probably in a weird way did me a favor. It was a bit strange watching it, because I'm like, Ben, I've known you for 20 years. Why do you keep referring to me as Richard Lee, the agent? But in a way, I guess there was a strange positive to that.
Okay, well, look, let's go through this bit by bit. We won't obviously go through the entire Fozcast, but just clipped up some of the snippets of him talking about Richard Lee, the goalkeeping agent, the goalkeeper super agent. So we'll play those and then just get your reaction to each individual clip, almost taking us through the story. You won't tell the whole story, of course, because that might just come at a later date, but we'll just go through them bit by bit for now.
The phone rings. His name's Richard Lee. He works as basically a super goalkeeper agent.
He used to be your number two at Watford as well,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he used to be my number two at Watford. I know him really well, too. He's a top lad. And he's like, Fozzy, listen, I know a team that wants to sign you. Newcastle United.
Okay, so two things straight off the bat. Goalkeeping super agent, there you go. And also, a top lad. Has he got the right man?
It's a good question. He has got the right man. Matthew, yes, he has. You know that I'm a top lad. As much as you make fun, it's like a seven-year-old in the playground, isn't it? That's what you are. That's what this relationship is like, actually. The more I think about it, it's like 2 7-year-olds. But yeah, top lad, he's bang on. And goalkeeper super agent, again, I'm taking it. So yeah, I got the call. I say I got the call. I got some information. I got some information that morning, which I had a feeling there could be a potential slot opening up. And us knowing the goalkeeping market and the goalkeeping world as we do, I felt that Ben Foster was the perfect fit.
Okay, so Newcastle United is the club. What came next?
I'm talking to Richard Lee and I've gone, okay, I want this amount of money, right? So I said a weekly wage that I wanted, and Richard Lee went, cool, I'll go back now to Newcastle and I'll talk to them and we'll go from there. He's come back about an hour later and he's gone, right, Ben, they're not going to do it. They're not going to pay you that amount of wages, right? They're just not willing to do it.
Okay, so at the point that he'd said to you, I want this amount of money, were you thinking there's absolutely no way that Newcastle are going to go for this? Or are you thinking, oh, this could possibly happen?
It was an amount of money that for the role, so the role itself, of course, would have been coming in initially as a two behind Nick Pope. Then realistically, when Carl Darlow was fit, he would have then moved to become a three. So when he said what he was looking for that particular role, it was too much, in my opinion. But, you know, certainly what I did know, and this is where I think yeah, Ben certainly had strength in this position, was I'm well aware as to the other goalkeepers that are currently out of contract, and I'm biased because he's my mate, but Ben is, you know, a long way above and beyond, I think, the other goalkeepers at the moment, certainly in terms of experience, the fact that he's, you know, fresh off the back of a big season in the Premier League, or certainly a lot of games in the Premier League last season. So I felt he's certainly got power here because he will be their number one choice. I'm pretty confident of that. It's just how far does that take you? How much money can you get because of that being the case? So what he asked for and what Newcastle offered, there was quite a gap, to be honest. So I was thinking it's very unlikely they're going to be able to bridge the gap at that particular point.
In the job that you do, I know you have to be very authoritative and you go to clubs and you are very much like, right, this is the case, this is what he'd like. Obviously, you're very personable as well as a gentleman, so you don't go in all guns blazing. But when a player, a goalkeeper, comes to you and says, I want this much money, do you ever, not cringe, but go to clubs and think, oh gosh, I can't ask them for this because this is going to make me look really silly? Or are you going in saying, okay, this is what he wants, let's try and negotiate?
Yeah, because it's, I think you know, in this particular situation, I could understand it from both points of view. From the club's point of view, that really they only needed cover until January because, you know, Carl Darlow, obviously not an ideal time for the injury. And of course, we wish him the best. Hopefully he's back soon enough. But then he really needed someone until January. So you kind of get their stance. But similarly, they want someone that they know can step in, that it's not going to be a huge downgrade from Nick Pope because, you know, they've had a reasonably positive start to the season. And the last thing they would want is perhaps 6, 7, 8 games of a goalkeeper playing who's maybe not quite of the level. That could be hugely costly. I mean, it's the conversation we've had so many times on this podcast about why you need that top number three. Now, of course, they've got Mark Gillespie there. And I assume that they've come to the decision that maybe they just wanted to bolster that a bit, having Mark Gillespie, having Nick Pope, and making sure they got one more to see them through until January. So, no, when Ben said his figure, so I could get Newcastle's stance. When Ben said his figure, I could also understand his reasoning in that it is a move. He would have to move up north and leave the family. You know, 39 years old, doesn't necessarily have to do it. So it needs to be an amount of money that he feels is big enough value for him to make that commitment and also leave behind a lot of what he's doing elsewhere. So I could fully see both points of view. But ultimately, in this situation, what was key was that Ben held the cards, really. And I, deep down, I knew that because, you know, he is as good as he is. And actually, he doesn't need the money. It's not one of them where he's like, oh, Rich, I need this contract. He doesn't need the contract, of course. He's played at the top level for so long now. So that being the case, I knew we could be reasonably strong while at the same time being quite respectful and not taking the piss, effectively. So the communication was quite simple, really. It was just a case of, look, yeah, this is what it is, really, from Ben's point of view. Like, there is going to be no negotiation. There's going to be no movement. It's either this number or it's not going to happen. And that was it. And so, as you say, you can be quite firm, quite fair. And as much as maybe they would come back with different ideas and different ways in which it might look, the conversation was quite a simple one. And that was just, look, if you can get to this number, great. If you can't, it's not a problem. But Ben, you know, he's in a position, he's in a very fortunate position where he doesn't necessarily just have to take anything. So, yeah, let me know if you can get to this number. If you can't, no problem.
Okay, so the situation as it stands is that you've called Ben Foster, you're the goalkeeping super agent, you're a top lad. You've told him that Newcastle are interested. He's given you a figure to take to Newcastle. Newcastle have said there's no way they can do that. Now, I imagine everyone listening to this podcast has probably heard this story already, but we'll just go through it anyway because it's still quite interesting.
Another hour later, the phone rings and it's Richard Lee again. He says, we're getting closer. I think they might do it, you know. And as soon as he said this, right, honestly, I had this sinking feeling inside of me because deep down, I didn't want to do it.
Okay, so here we are. You're getting closer. Now, were you aware that as you were getting closer, as you're negotiating with Newcastle, going back and forth with Dan Ashworth and speaking to various people at the club and then speaking to Ben, were you aware that Ben had this feeling?
No. There was a moment when probably the next stage was the first point where I just sensed it a touch. But no, at this stage, the conversations were very, I suppose, very frank. Ben was like, look, this is where I'm at. Because similarly, I was coming back to him and being like, look, Newcastle are now saying this. And I had to take each different offer to him. And each time, in fairness, Ben was like, nope, has to be this. Nope, has to be this. So the fact that he said that, and he'd made it quite clear that if they got there, he would then take the offer. No, at that point, I still felt that if they could get to that number, it would happen.
Another half an hour passes, phone rings, Richard Lee. Fozzie, they've done it. Mate, they've done it. They've agreed the contract. They've literally agreed the contract. They've just sent it through. Everything you wanted, absolutely fine. They want you up there tonight. They've already booked you the hotel, and you've got your medical in the morning. And I went, oh my gosh. And so I'm on the phone, and Richard Lee is buzzing because he's this deal has come through. And he was like, I can't believe it. Honestly, Fozzie, this is incredible. Like, it's absolutely amazing. But I'm there on the other end going, okay, mate. I went, give me half an hour, right? And he's still buzzing. He's like, yeah, cool, not a problem, not a problem. I'll give you half an hour. No worries, no worries.
That's one of the best clips, I think. Just the fact that you've got Tubes and it's Tom, isn't it? The guy who works alongside Ben Foster, both giggling away going, oh no, oh, this is awful.
It sounds like Gary Neville when he does his reactions. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, no, it was. It was. No, and do you know what? It was at that point, and I've got to say, Newcastle were great throughout this, by the way. I'll make that point and I'll make it again because I think they were really, really good. And when they called back, it was like, look. And similarly then, you know, I think we were as fair as we could be in terms of us as an agency and how it looked at that point. But when he called back and he was like, okay, look, we'll do it. Then obviously I've called Ben, as he said. And I did have my first, I suppose, tinge of, okay, that's interesting. Because he did say, oh, let me call you back. And I was thinking, well, there's not really a lot to call me back about. We've got to where you need to be. So there was a part of me that thought, okay, that's a bit strange. And I've known Ben for a long time. So Ben, you know, I'm sure as everyone's sort of gathered now watching the Fozcast, like, you know, he is one of the best people in football. But Ben is Ben. Ben will do whatever Ben wants to do. And in fairness, it's served him brilliantly, you know, over his career. He's so strong in his opinion, so strong in terms of his mindset. Very little phases him. I learned so much from him, and bearing in mind we're the same age, in fact he's slightly younger than me, when we were together at Watford, he taught me more than I'd say any other goalkeeper that I've been with, because he's got such a unique mentality. Just nothing phases him whatsoever. And he will make decisions like this that most people would look at, and when they knew the size or know the size of the contract, most would be like, wow, that is unbelievable that you've made that decision. But if anyone's going to do that, it's Ben. So when he said that, I had my first sort of tinge of, okay, that's interesting. Now, bearing in mind, I haven't mentioned this, I did this whole thing in Dublin Airport, which was very random, but I was over there meeting a potential client. So I spent 7 hours. It was like one of these scenes. I was thinking about it. It's like, I don't know if anyone that's seen Breaking Bad, there was an episode with a fly and the whole episode was done in the same room. And it was a bit of a strange episode. I kind of felt like that. I'm walking around Dublin Airport. I'm having problems with 3G and with my Wi-Fi, basically, because I think so many people are in such a small space. I couldn't really get on WhatsApp. So I'm forever having to walk out of the airport, walk half a mile down the road in order to make a phone call. I'm then running out of battery. So I'm having to come back in the airport to plug my phone in for like 10 minutes to walk back out the airport. So this whole thing was such a bizarre day. So each phone call that I made, and at the same time meeting this potential client, I had to apologize to him in advance because I had a feeling it was going to be one of those days. And he was good as gold, in fairness. Each time I kind of interrupted our meeting, he would sit there, have another coffee, and I would then come back 5-10 minutes later having made another phone call. So the whole thing was just bizarre. But then at this point, it was that moment of, do you know what, I think this might happen now. And also, bearing in mind, I then had to fly back to Stansted. Wasn't due to get back till 11 at night. I would then have to drive up to Newcastle. So I was planning how I would go back, get my suit and whatever else I'd need to get. I get to Newcastle about 4 or 5 in the morning. We were booked in for the medical at, I think, 9 in the morning. So there's all this going on, having to inform my colleagues. One of my colleagues is going to come up there and meet. So it was just like a crazy hour and quite a big high, as you can imagine, being an agent. And actually, on that point, and that's something we haven't really spoke about, have we, Matt, is that I am an agent. We should probably make that clear as well at this point. Or do you think the cover's been blown?
Well, I think the cover's definitely been blown, mate. You've been broadcast to, what, millions of people that listen to the Fozcast now. So yeah, cover's gone, mate.
Do you know what? And on that, just very quickly, and we'll come back to the story, but it was, I know we spoke about this before because, of course, we started the pod many years ago. That's always been my main line of work, that goalkeeping schools as well, which we have, and essentially everything and anything goalkeeping. But naturally, the agency side, given what we do, the information that we have, has taken on a much bigger role in, certainly in my life personally. But it is one that I've never really shouted about. If you were to look at my Instagram, you'd have a very good idea, but it is something that I've never really shouted about too much.
and the glitz and glamour of professional football at the very highest level. We're talking Newcastle United now, and you're having to do this entire deal in an airport. It's like phone booth. You mentioned one particular scene, but it's like phone booth. That's, Colin Farrell, mate, that's you.
That's a better, right, that is a better analogy. I was trying to think of a good, because it was one of those surreal moments, and that was the point I was going to make, actually, was as an agent, and certainly, you know, you look at the highest highs you have, when something like this comes together, where in the morning, that didn't even exist. And then suddenly by 7, 8 p.m. or whatever it was, suddenly out of nowhere, this had happened and this was being created and it was about to move forward, or certainly looked like it was. You know, in terms of the adrenaline rush, it's a real high. It's as big a high as you're going to get as an agent. That, alongside watching your clients play in big games of football, that for me, and that's always, and certainly now, that's very much my dream, is to, you know, represent lads at the very highest level and be going to Premier League games or whatever it might be to watch, you know, goalkeepers against each other. That's very much the vision with this. But certainly that day, it went from being an ordinary morning to a crazy afternoon to the highest high to the lowest low.
As long as you stayed somewhere in between, we're okay.
There you go. There you go, Brad Friedel. Thank you. That's the advice I needed in that moment.
Okay, let's just finish off this story and then we'll get on to the rest.
So my first port call was Richard Lee. So Richard Lee, the agent who had been doing the deal. So I rung Richard and I said, mate, listen, I can't do it. I'm not doing it, mate. And he genuinely went, yeah, good un.
So this is after he said to you, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to Newcastle. The deal's off. And you've gone, yeah, good un. Never heard you say good un before, by the way. So, you know, that's a new one. But what was your thought process as Ben then said to you, I'm not doing it?
I mean, there was that initial moment where I was thinking, no, this can't be real. There was that initial moment, but then, and if I'm honest, I then made a few points, which I think Ben shared on his, in fact, he did share on the Fozcast. And my key points were like, Ben, even if you're not delighted or desperate to go and do this for whatever reason, you know, you'll go up there, and once you're there, you'll enjoy it and you'll do a great job. Also the fact that once you're there, that can never be taken away from you. You know, whatever happens with Newcastle over the next 10, 20, 30 years, which, you know, promises or potentially could be really exciting, you will have always been associated with that club, which is only going to help the stuff you've got going on away from football. So I was making more those points than anything that, yeah, I get it. In this moment, you're probably not feeling it. You know, you're probably, you know, chilled on a, whatever it was, a Wednesday night, I think it was, probably chilled, you know, about to have a glass of wine, watch some TV. So yeah, the last thing you want to do is get in your car, go and do a medical and whatever in this moment. But once you get into the flow, and it is only effectively 7 months of your life, you know, once you do get up there, there's the World Cup that's soon coming up. You know, the season's already well underway. So 7 months, and it could have such a positive impact moving forward. So I sort of made all these points to him, because I do, and even now, I still think that he would have gone up there and had a great time and it would have been a big positive. But I could sense, he then said he'd have a think about it. He sort of sounded like he was coming around a bit. But deep down at that point, I thought this just isn't happening. You know, once he's had that initial thought, if anything, and I know he then obviously explained on the Fozcast that he went and spoke to a lot of different people, and it sounds like it was a bit of a split. You know, a lot of people saying, yeah, crack on. A few people saying, no, don't. And I think he was, I guess, looking for those people, or looking for that to back up the fact that he wasn't doing something crazy. And the fact that he has so much going on away from football, I do get it. And now that the dust has settled, and as much as it was a strange feeling that evening, you know, and I was naturally a bit disappointed for personal reasons, but also because I just felt that it would have been such a good thing for him once the dust had settled. And, you know, look, it was one of them. I could never have any other feeling, but, you know, positive feelings towards Ben, given our relationship and given what how good he's been to me as well in the last 15, 20 years or whatever it's been. But once the dust has settled, I could see it slightly differently. And certainly I could understand his position and why he said no.
Okay, let's just finish this one off then.
And I felt like I'd wasted his time. And then for him to have to go and tell Newcastle that the deal's off just makes him look like a bit of a dickhead. Do you know what I mean? I didn't like that.
Is that all that makes you look like one of those? I'd be surprised by that, to be honest. That was the one thing that surprised me about that entire Fozcast.
At that point, he kind of went, wow, mate, like, oh, mate.
Putting the phone down.
Oh, he was gutted. Honestly, he was gutted. He was so gutted. His voice went from, yeah, when he answered it to,
okay, Ben.
Oh, wow, I can't, Fozzie, yeah. Like, are you sure? And he kept saying, are you sure? Like, think about it. You'll be able to do this. You'll be able to, and I'm going, mate, listen, I'm not doing it. And he went, wow.
And there it is. Wow. Little mug off for you at the end there as well. Tubes and Tom all giggling along at your expense.
I know. I'm due to go on the Fozcast.
This is huge.
In the coming weeks. So, yeah, I'm hoping they're there. I'm hoping they are there. We will have words. We will. But he's bang on, to be honest. What he said, that was that last phone call he made to me. And I kind of knew at that point, you know, there'd been about a 5-10 minute gap between phone calls and he was thinking it through. I just thought this isn't happening. So then when I got the call, and he was quite firm, he just said, look, Rich, I'm not doing it. And that was kind of it. That was the final call. And then it was a case of, right, we're going to have to tidy this up. And in fairness to Ben, he then made the first call to Newcastle, which I did appreciate because it's not an easy phone call to make after, you know, we'd probably spoke 20, 25 times during that day, just back and forth all day. So then to suddenly have a complete U-turn, it's not easy. But they were really, really understanding, really understanding. And Ben, in fairness, then sent me a nice message or two after that. And as I say, as much as I was disappointed, I was also, and I'm sort of careful to do this, it's one that, yeah, like I say, for personal reasons, it would have been lovely had it have happened. But then similarly, do you know what? I retired and certainly very different figures involved, but for similar reason. You know, I think if you just don't feel something, then I would never give the advice to someone just to do it for the sake of doing it. And if he felt that strongly in that moment, like I did many years ago, when I could have probably carried on for another year or two, but in that moment, and certainly it wasn't a rash decision, it was one that I knew I was done. And certainly I think with Ben, once he'd had that feeling, the moment he knew the deal was there and it's exactly as he wanted it to be, the fact that he wasn't excited by it, then yeah, I guess as a nice story about this, there's something quite refreshing about that, that he's not then just chasing the money. He's making a decision based on how he feels and his heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to just reflect on everything, I spoke to you later that night of this particular day and you sounded like you'd gone 10 rounds with Tyson Fury. Just you were absolutely exhausted from the day's events. But looking at it from a personal perspective now, that negotiation with, you know, a top level club like Newcastle going back and forth, trying to thrash out a deal, the fact that in the morning of that day, you didn't even know this was going to happen. That must be quite a buzz for you to do that negotiating, to actually get to where you needed to get to. Yes, Ben ended up deciding not to do it, but the fact that you managed to thrash out that deal, that must have been quite exciting for you and part of the reason why you do what you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There was, look, I spent the last 4 or 5 years certainly dedicating myself to this in the same way that I dedicated myself to my career, in that, you know, I'm very much of the belief that to be one of the best agents in the world, there's a certain amount of skill sets that you can learn and that you can become better at. And, you know, touch wood, we've had and I've personally had fantastic success over the last few years. And the amount of lads that are playing at such a high level now and the journey that we've taken them on, it kind of builds up and backs up the belief that you're doing something right. And certainly now, you know, without, I don't want to name clients for obvious reasons, but, you know, I'm so proud of the client list. First and foremost, great people, which was really important to me to have a job and a passion where I'm working with people I like, which, you know, on the whole has been true, except this podcast. But so on the whole, working with people that I really like, people I admire and people I rate. And so, no, it's one that, again, taking stock and without kind of making it sound like it's the end of something, because it's not. This was all part of the journey. And as you say, from a learning perspective, a learning experience, and to see where I was maybe 3-4 years ago or 5 years ago when I was starting this up to where it is now and where it's moving, yeah, it couldn't be going in a better direction, to be honest. And I'm really grateful for that. So it is kind of one of them, as much as you naturally, like losing a game of football, you have that feeling, that horrible feeling that you have. But then the key is always, okay, can you find the positives? Can you work on it? Can you improve and can you move on? And actually in this situation, there were so many positives from the whole experience, the way in which it's going generally, that it wasn't too difficult to get over.
And of course, an arm of what you do is the Goalkeepers Union podcast, mate. So I'll tell you what, that's probably the biggest value add to everything you do, I think.
Well, you would say that.
Actually, on that note, so the Fozcast, you mentioned it at the beginning that it is quite the operation, right? And I think just from watching this as well, it just made me realise how big an operation the Fozcast is. And it also made me think, oh gosh, I wish we had that budget. That would really help. There was a Watford number one and a Watford number two that I ended up meeting and befriending. And kind of feel like I got the wrong one.
I think you might have. I think you might have. But look, maybe we're heading in that direction.
Maybe.
I mean, we are going from strength to strength. Maybe it won't be long until we have our own studio and shirts up everywhere and me wearing a retro something goalkeeper kit. You just don't know.
No, I'm kidding. Of course, I'm kidding. I love what we do, mate. And actually, let's finish on Ben Foster, because Tom did say one of the things for him was that he knows Ben can still do it. And I think we all do. I mean, the fact that he was a free agent, that is one heck of a free agent just waiting in the wings to join a football club. He could easily be, I mean, let alone a number two at Newcastle, he could easily still be a number one in the Premier League without question.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I've and that was, again, part of all of this. This wasn't by design, but where it had just worked out perfectly in one way, obviously it hasn't moved forward, but perfectly was... You know, we spoke about this at length. If you desperately need a goalkeeper between windows, there's often not all that many out there for obvious reasons. Most goalkeepers are under contract. But as you say, to have a Ben Foster out of contract, I suppose when you look at it, it was always going to be the first major injury and Ben was going to get the call. And that's exactly how it played out. And it will be interesting, because he did also touch on, you know, look, he is retired. But then knowing Ben as I do, he's got that switch in him that it might be that come November, December, who knows, he might have a change of heart again and want to play again. He's always spoke about the MLS, and he mentioned that as well in the Foscast that I lined up Atlanta for him, which would have been a, you know, huge opportunity for him, certainly the biggest stadium in the MLS, if not the biggest club, you know, really impressive outfit. Carlos Bocanegra's got a big part to play over there, and we had the Zoom call with Carlos Bocanegra, which was very interesting. I know it's something he took very, very seriously, and it just wasn't quite the right timing. But again, it would be interesting if something like that came up in November, December, then whether he reverses his decision, does a season out in the MLS, because I'm sure that there'll be interest out there. You know, and certainly he's going to keep himself fit with all the cycling he does, etc. So yeah, as much as he is retired and yeah, 90%, I'm sure that is him done, there is just a part of me that wouldn't be surprised if we did see him again potentially in the MLS at some point.
You just did to Carlos Bocanegra what Ben Foster did to Richard Lee there, by the way.
I know.
You realise that? Spoke to Carlos Bocanegra, and then Carlos Bocanegra said this, and then Carlos
but
Bocanegra
I haven't known Carlos Bocanegra for 20 years. So, of course, I'm calling him by his full name every single time. I'm not going to call him like Sea Dog or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, right. That is one heck of an intro. I think the largest intro we've ever done to this show.
Yeah, we're going to have a very short show now, aren't we?
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's whiz through all the action. Starting in the Premier League, of course, Aston Villa 1, Southampton 0, and Gavin Batzunu for the opener. Now, we've had plenty of correspondence on this. We've had some tweets, and we've had an email in too. I'll read them out, and then you can give your reaction. So the email is from William Hill, who says, "Hi, Matt." He actually says, "Hi, Matt."
Wow.
Can you believe that? That's a first, isn't it?
He knows who you are.
No mention of the goalkeeping super agent. Unbelievable. Okay, hi Matt. Please can you ask Richard how he feels... Oh, there you go. He wants me to ask you a question. Please can you ask Richard how he feels Gavin Batzunu has started his Premier League career? Being a Saints fan, I am very pleased with him. He is young and has all the attributes you want in a goalkeeper. Just watched our game versus Aston Villa, and Gary Neville, after the game, blames Gavin for not putting the ball over the bar and says that because he's a young keeper, he is trying to be involved too much and make saves look good. I thought it was a great reaction save where he's just focused on keeping the ball out. It's then up to the defenders to help with the second ball. I feel Gavin is being unfairly portrayed just because he is young. We also went to the Twitter sphere. I'll read out some of the comments on Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, who both said that he was at fault, or the pundit, sorry, who said he was at fault. M says, I think he would be slightly annoyed about the initial save, but let's be real, we're talking millimetres in hand position, which takes the balls off the bar and out for a corner. FM goal hyphen scoring GK says, I think the GK and his manager and teammates will think he can do better and does do better most of the time. It is a mistake, I think. Danny Salford Redlove says, good keeper, wrong decision. It happens, and he paid the penalty. Jason Trinder says, it's a matter of inches. All Batzunu can do at that range is get something on it, and it's obvious he's trying to guide it over the bar, but unsuccessfully. A lot of goalkeepers are coached to palm or fist things away these days rather than try and catch or hold, which in my view is wrong. BH says, should do better. Header isn't necessarily with loads of venom. Decent time to react. Josh says, agree with the pundits here. Mark Butler says, thought it was poor myself. And at's his mate, MGP, P_97 who responds and says, pushed it onto the bar, so great save. Ben Hedges says, definite mistake in terms of misjudging flight and speed of the ball. I've done that before, but think I got away with it. Often you want shots to be much better than they are. And BH says, should do better. Header isn't necessarily with loads of venom. Decent time to react. We have plenty more of those tweets. Thank you very much for sending them in. And please do keep sending them in.
You're so happy to have Twitter back, aren't you?
It's great. Great, love
it. Really is. Really is great. Right, what do I think on this? Because it was a really interesting situation for a couple of different reasons. So I made a few notes on it. So for me, I think he sets okay. I think in terms of his set position, he's reasonably upright. Obviously, ball being in the air. So I think he gives himself a good chance of A, making the save. Hand position's fine, a little bit higher than normal. What I would say is he's set in such a way where he's like a coiled spring. Like he's ready to go. You can see there's almost that. The speed of reaction is going to be quick because he is very quick. But then the actual shot probably took him by surprise in that it wasn't quite as much pace as maybe he thought there would be. It wasn't quite high enough. And what I mean by that is if it's a touch higher, you can just get fingertips over the bar, where if anything, it was that little bit lower. So I think the technique he's used to make the save is fine. I think if anything, he's reacted too quickly to what was a ball that didn't come at him with maybe quite enough pace. It wasn't slow by any means, but it didn't come at quite enough pace. So he's just ended up getting slightly too much on it. It's as simple as that. And it is actually quite a tough technique in that position to get it over the bar, because of course the part of the ball you would then need to touch, you know, is the underside of the ball in order to then get the leverage up and over the bar. But I just felt he almost reacted too quickly. And that was it. You know, like someone just said there, you're talking, you know, an inch, if that, maybe a couple of centimeters, and it goes over the bar. And then we'll look at it and say, no, it's a good save. You know, it's not a world-class save, but it's a good save. The fact then that the ball drops, hits the bar, comes back out, bit of a mess. It's just unfortunate. I know I haven't said this for ages about like error rating, because it is one of them where this isn't a terrible error. And I think where you've got like Gary Neville, I don't agree with that at all. He's not trying to make it look good. That's a ridiculous comment again. Of course he isn't. He's just reacted too quickly and he's just too explosive in that moment, where if it had been just a touch calmer, he might have been able to get the fingertips or reposition the hand in such a way then to get it up and over the bar. So I think it was as simple as that. You're talking, yeah, a centimeter or two, and unfortunately it's not gone over the bar, hit the bar, come out, and they've been punished.
And just a quick response to William Hill on the email, just your thoughts on how Batsunu has started his career in the Premier League.
No, a lot of positives. And look, this is the other bit to bear in mind, in that, you know, it's not just young goalkeepers. Any goalkeepers going to a new environment, a new club, the first few games are quite key, because you want to build that early momentum. You want the fans on side. You know, I've had it both ways, where it went very positively at Watford my first few games, a couple of man of the matches, and, you know, you're soon taken under their wing, especially, you know, as a local coming through at Watford. Then I had the opposite at Brentford, where it started off terribly, and then I'm having to fight back for months in order to try and build a good reputation there. And of course, it's always nicer when it starts well. So yeah, for a young goalkeeper coming in for a lot of money, obviously going straight in as number one, you really want to hit the ground running. I think there's more than enough signs to suggest that he's going to be a big, big player for them in the coming years. Naturally, I think you're always going to have in your first season that there is maybe that extra bit of expectation that you put on yourself, and you know, you really want to try and bed in as best you can, so it can be a little bit more difficult. And let's face it, he's still such a young goalkeeper, so for him to be playing regularly in the Premier League at his age, Southampton no doubt in 3-4 years are going to have one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League. The problem for them is then that's when a Man City, Man United, Liverpool, whoever it is, probably swoops in and tries to sign him. But no, certainly for me, more than enough positives from what I've seen. I know a couple of coaches that have worked with him very closely as well. And, you know, they've been talking to me about him for years and years, you know, in terms of just how good he is. And no, certainly what I've seen, I think it's very exciting for Southampton.
Okay, Tottenham 6, Leicester 2. Hugo Lloris saving a pen, conceding the retake, making a great save in the second half. Quite the afternoon for the Tottenham captain. Goalkeeper encroachment as well. I think that's the first time I've actually heard that used as a term to be given against the goalkeeper. You saw it flash up on the screen. I don't think I've seen it flash up on the screen before.
No, it's unusual. And it's centimetres. Look, I know I've said my idea many times. I still keep coming back to it because I just think that the ambiguity, you know, when you see this, it's just so harsh. It's what, a couple of centimetres that, you know, when you see the angle... I just think for a goalkeeper to be able to judge that, when you can't tell exactly when the striker's going to hit, or the outfield player's going to hit the penalty. You know, they do a little stutter. If they do a slight slow down ever so slightly before they kick the ball, like, you just can't judge it. So for me, it just has to change. The whole concept of a penalty has to change if they want it to be black and white and to be as fair as it can be, because I feel for Hugo Lloris here. It's so minor, makes a brilliant save. For it to be retaken, I just think is unfair.
It's difficult for us to talk about it as well, really, now, because we're kind of flogging a dead horse, and one that's pretty pointless, because this is where I feel like the powers that be, the officials, the referees, even pundits that aren't fans of goalkeepers, have the upper hand here, because we can moan and groan about the fact that it's not fair, but they can just come back and say, well, that's the rules, so tough. Like, yeah. We can say it's not right, but we can't complain about the decision itself, because has come slightly off the line, so we have to just suck it up.
No, he is. You're right. He's a couple of centimetres off. And yeah, if you're a couple of centimetres offside, you're offside. So I get it. That's what I'm saying, though. I would change the rules. I would completely change the rules as to what a penalty is. And that's not, for me, I don't think you have to change it in such a way where you completely overhaul what a penalty is. It would still be very much the same. But I think that idea, and I know we do disagree on this, but I'll say it again. That idea that you blow the whistle, and once you blow the whistle, the player's live. I just think that it then gives, of course, it gives goalkeepers a slightly better chance, because then at that point they can move off their line, they can do whatever they want to do. Realistically, the players that are still on the edge of the box are then going to start sprinting in the box. So it would make it more difficult. The player taking the penalty realistically would only have a 2 or 3 step run up, and it would be a harder skill. But then I think that makes sense, because there's far too many penalties that are given, for one. And it is, what, 80, 85% end up in the back of the net? 90%? Should be more, to be honest, given how heavily weighted it is in the attacker's favour. So yeah, for me, I just think it's far too easy to win a penalty, and it's far too easy to score a penalty.
Maybe we introduce this in our goalkeeper fun day that we want to have at the end of the season. A work in progress, but where we do what the NFL do and get them to hit targets and see who can do the longest sidewinder and the best throw, all that sort of stuff. We can have that as a little fun thing in the corner. Here's Richard Lee's goalkeeping super agent penalty idea, and see how it goes.
Let's do it.
Let's go to St. James's Park. Topical. Newcastle 1, Bournemouth 1. And Neto with a double, if not a triple save, a delayed triple save. He's doing well, isn't he, since he's come in?
Yeah, he is. No, he is. And this was, I'm going to go double.
Yeah, it was a double save.
The first part of this where he kicks it away was fine. But no, good. The first save was reasonably comfortable in terms of left-hand side, clap save, doesn't hold it, can't hold it, but parries into an okay area. Although it's back into play, I don't mind it too much. He gets a decent enough amount of power on the parry, so it gets just about out of danger. So that was fine. I think he would have struggled to get the angle on it to parry it wide, so that was fine. But then I think he gets up nice and quick, gets himself back in position, and there's a very good save up to his left-hand side. Good footwork, good explosion, went with two hands and put it into a great area. So now I thought it was really good goalkeeping.
One observation on Neto as well that I noticed from the interview that he gave after the game when they asked him about Micah Richards is quite the gnashes on him, hasn't he? What a set of railings he's got.
Big smile.
Massive
big
smile. Would
you like to see? I love the fact that he did the interview as well, because that's quite good, I guess, to come in and, you know, I think of goalkeepers that you know, are starting out in the Premier League. So to come and do that interview so soon in his career at Bournemouth, I thought, no, credit to him. I thought he came across really well. You could tell he's obviously a big smile. He seems like a nice person because of it, and has a nice energy about him, and plays that way as well.
And finally, at Goodison Park, Everton beat West Ham 1-0. But more importantly, Asmir Begovic made his first Premier League appearance of the campaign. Jordan Pickford out for a period of time. They reckon he's going to be back after the international break. But Asmir came in. Frank Lampard actually said, didn't he, before the game, I feel like I've got two number ones here at Everton. It's not a number one and a number two, because in Asmir, I have a solid understudy who can just step in and pretty much produce a flawless performance.
Which he did. And you know, look, man of the match for me, but we are quite biased on this show, aren't we? Yeah. No, I thought he was great. I thought he was very, very good. You know, I suppose the word I'd use is calming. He steps in, such a calming influence. Decision-making was very good all day. Yeah, a couple of, obviously the save he made to his right hand side in the second half, excellent save. You know, you look at his set position, his positioning spot on. Again, isn't too low. It's the kind of one that, you know, old school, but the one that Ryan Giggs beat David Seaman with in the roof of the net, that kind of strike. But because he's taken up a good position, he's able to get his hands up and get fingertips over the bar. Thought his distribution was good all afternoon. Dealt with so many crosses under the crossbar. You know, I don't know if West Ham do that week in, week out, but they were putting everything under the crossbar, and I thought he dealt with that really well. Some really good punches. And yeah, to keep a clean sheet, their first win of the season. You know, it's not easy for a goalkeeper to step in at any time, especially when Jordan Pickford's been the form that he's been in as well, because let's be honest, he's been excellent at the start of the season. So for Azmir to step in and be that assured, I think he's up there, if not the best number two in the league, he's certainly up there, you know, to know that you've got a goalkeeper with that experience. And he's actually turned into now, you know, we talk a lot about the perfect 1-2-3 in the Premier League. He would be your perfect two. And that's not to say that he couldn't be a one, because as Frank Lampard said, he is effectively more than good enough to be a one. But if you wanted an excellent number two, someone like that with the mentality that he's got, with the calmness that he's got, the experience that he's got, just to step in and do that, having not played for a little while, yeah, absolutely perfect.
Nice 23-year-old Giggs and Seaman reference there, mate. Nice to keep it contemporary. Thank you for that.
That's what we do.
Okay, that's it for the Premier League. Just remember, if you'd like to contact us like William Hill did, like all the guys on Twitter did, very easy to do so. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net or on our phone number 07503673020. And on Twitter at GK Union.
And you know what, Matthew? My bet is that William Hill contacts us again at some point.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Nathan Baxter made his first appearance of the season for Hull. Excellent, with an almost not seen touch onto the bar from Joel Perreault in the first half, and mix up with his centre-back for the second, let down by his defenders for the third in a 3-0 loss at Swansea. That was the second time in just a few days the Tigers have lost by that scoreline, the first coming against Stoke in the week, where Joe Bursic was back in following Jack Bonham's warm-up injury. He made it two clean sheets on the bounce with a decent performance in a goalless draw with QPR. And Dan Grimshaw, now I don't know whether this is the EFL matrix doing its thing after that goal, if you remember, that never was involving Grimshaw at Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago, but harshly slammed with an own goal in Blackpool's loss to Millwall. Very harsh, that one. And a massive note here in that George Long was given the nod over Bart Bielkowski. That's the first time that's happened in the Championship for Bielkowski since the opening day of the 2021 season. He'd been ever present in the league up until this weekend. And Ben Wilson, another goalkeeper, recently replacing a favoured number one in Simon Moore at Coventry. Two good saves in a draw with Birmingham.
Yeah, lots to touch on here. So Nathan Baxter mentioned, great save onto the bar. Such a bizarre goal, the one that was considered the mix-up. And I, for the life of me, I don't know what the defender's doing. It just looks like he's been shot or something. Like when Nathan Baxter's come out, slid to get the ball, the defender's almost shielded it away from him, so making it look like he was in control, and then just collapses. I actually genuinely thought he might be injured at first. There's an angle where, it does look quite amusing if you see the angle from behind the goal, because it's like he trips himself up almost, and then it's an easy tap in for Swansea. And as you say, sounds like quite a good performance from Swansea, but naturally it'll be very frustrating for Nathan Baxter, where I don't think there's a lot more as a goalkeeper you can do. You slide out to get the ball, the defender doesn't let you have the ball, and then the defender does what he does. So I think that was just
it looked a little bit like Baxter then tried to avoid the defender, because maybe, like you said, he thought he was injured. In that scenario, do you just go, even if he's injured, I just need to clean him up anyway?
No, because I think that if the defender's got control of it, which he's obviously made the decision that he has, then I think he does the right thing, which is gets himself out the way. And it wasn't easy for him to do that, but he did. He didn't touch the defender. So, yeah, just a really, really bizarre goal. But you mentioned a few other things there. I thought Joe Bursic was excellent. So I did watch several games on Saturday, including the QPR Stoke game. And I thought the fact that he stepped back in, never easy when you've been out for a few weeks, but he stepped back in. I think both performances have been very good. Arguably man of the match in this performance. A couple of excellent saves, and distribution was as good as it always is. No, I thought big credit to him. Great clean sheet. George Long, massive call from Millwall to do this, because as you say, Bart Bielkowski has been ever present, you know, player of the seasons, etc. Big favourite there. But I'm assuming they've made the decision that maybe George Long offers them a bit more in terms of playing style. That's all I can assume reading between the lines. I don't think Bart Bielkowski's necessarily made all that many mistakes from what I've seen.
Well, no, Gary Rowett actually said after the game, I'll read out some of the quotes that he gave. He said, "I've had 18 months where I've kept saying to Longy, just be patient, you might get a chance. I felt I needed to do something just to see if I could change some dynamic." We've heard that a lot with goalkeeper changes. "We're very quiet, our back three, and Longy is very loud and very vociferous. He demands a lot of people. That was it, really. It wasn't down to performances. It was down to me trying to be fair."
Okay, that's interesting. Well, certainly the fact they've won, no doubt he'll get an extended run, you feel now. Similarly with Ben Wilson. That one surprised me, you know, certainly given how well Simon Moore did last season, how well Coventry did last season. I know they've got off to a poor start this season, but again, hadn't seen anything necessarily other than I think one goal at Sunderland that perhaps he might have looked at and done something slightly differently. But other than that, I think again he's been pretty solid. But how often do you see that when a team is struggling, it's the goalkeeper that is often the first one to be changed? And again, there's been a few examples of that this weekend.
Into League One, where Joe Wildsmith made a ripper of a stop from Wickham's Sully Kaikai. Now, these are the saves for me which don't get talked about enough because they just sort of happen and people just presume that goalkeepers should make these saves. But Kaikai's absolutely leathered that. Incredible reactions from Wildsmith. Match-winning reactions at that, to be fair. 3 points for Derby in that one. Connor Ripley, persistence pays off, I think, here for him too. Morecambe 1-0 down to Forest Green Rovers, but winning 2-1 right at the death. And that was thanks muchly to two big saves from Ripley. Ever-present so far this term. The first time he's enjoyed a run of games like this since a spell on loan at Accrington in 2018. And Jamie Searle, another Kiwi keeper. EFL debut for him. He nabbed more than half an hour in Barnsley's win over Cambridge. The game was held up for 14 minutes or so due to that Brad Collins injury. Wish him nothing but the best in what will hopefully be a speedy recovery.
Yeah, it was a nasty one for Brad Collins, as you say, quite a long delay, and hopefully it's nothing too serious. I think it's a facial injury from what I know. So yeah, fingers crossed he's back very soon, because he's certainly a huge player for Barnsley as well, it's fair to say. I think player of the season last season from what I gather. And yeah, Joe Wildsmith, I wanted to talk about this save because I thought it was an excellent save. I thought it was the movement prior to the save which was most impressive. Got himself back into a position to give himself a chance. And then the reactions are fantastic, you know, to get fingertips to it. And as you say, Connor Ripley, good to see that he's playing regularly. Didn't work out for him, I think it's fair to say, at Preston. You know, went there, I'm sure, with the right intentions. Never really able to break in, but no, certainly sounds like he's found a good platform now.
And it's a tale of two penalties in League Two, and a tale of two kins too. So Rochdale's Richard O'Donnell saving from Northampton's Sam Hoskins, but then seeing the rebound cruelly nodded in. And Gillingham's Glenn Morris conceding a penalty, but then denying Mansfield's Lucas Akins from the spot. And finally, a save of the week contender, Tom King of Salford, somehow diverting a header from Tranmere's Daniel Simeu over the bar. What a save that was.
Yeah, and that was a save I was going to mention. Thought it was an excellent save. And of course, he meets up with his Welsh teammates this week, which I know we're going to mention briefly because that is quite an unusual situation, which you don't often see. But obviously, goalkeepers in League One, League Two, international goalkeepers in League One, League Two, the situation that can leave the club in that he won't be available next week. And certainly he goes having had a very good game, leaves on good form, and no doubt it'll be a great week or two away for him with Wales. But it's now what does Salford do next week, in that they are eligible for an emergency loan, so they don't have another recognised goalkeeper at the club at the moment. But again, it does put them in a bit of a position where they're going to have to explore the market to see if they bring someone in.
I think they might be calling on a goalkeeper super agent, mate. That might just be happening.
Maybe they will, Matthew. Maybe they already have. Maybe they already have. Who knows?
It does put clubs in quite a predicament, though, isn't it? Because I guess this isn't something that was that common back in the day, but now, because of the quality of players and the number of players that are available for international selection, we are seeing League One, League Two goalkeepers on international duty. Now, that being in the Premier League, the clubs don't play, but that can't be the case in League One or League Two.
Yeah, well, Jojo Wallacott's another good example, of course, with Ghana. I don't actually know if he goes away or not this week. But then what you often find is, on one hand, it's great for the goalkeeper to get the call up, but then there is also the slight worry. The other one, of course, is the under-21s, because you'll get the odd one that will go away with the under-21s. You've got Luke Southwood, Northern Ireland. So there are these examples out there of goalkeepers that do get called up to, you know, full national teams, 21s. But of course, there's always that worry that you're going to be away for a game or two. What if the goalkeeper comes in and does brilliantly well? What if your last game before you do go away isn't a great game. You know, for instance, with Tom King, that's a bit different because they will likely bring in an emergency loan, I would guess. But certainly if you've got a very solid number two, a McGillivray, for instance, at Charlton, like no doubt if Jojo were to go, then of course he would step in. They would have no need or no right to bring in an emergency loan. And of course, he's more than good enough to step in. But again, it does give an opportunity. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, as we come towards the end of the show, it is, of course, time for this. Now we start in the Premier League. Emi Martinez on the board. Edison, Moorish, Aaron Ramsdale, Aouron, Asmir Begovic, 100%. Into the Championship. Stephen Bender, 2 from 3. John Ruddy, same. Ben Wilson, on the board. Mark 2. Lee Nichols, finally back on the board. Ethan Horvath, Colorado keeper. Wes Fodringham, 4 in a row. Senny Dieng, 2 in a week. Joe Bursick, ditto. Joe Lumley, royal seal of approval. Zach Steffen, returning for a first clean of the campaign. And Victor Johansson, 5 alive. Into League 1. Lucas Jensen, Danish diver. James Trafford, 5. Brad Collins, Susie Q. Ben Garrett, on the board. Mark 4. And into League 2, quite a few here. Harry Lewis, Bantam's boy, Max Crocombe, Bush, Arthur Okonkwo, Crew, Blanky McCrew, Cuthbert, Dibble and Shutt, Sol Brin, all he does is Brin, no matter what. Christy Pym, back to back, Lawrence Vigouroux, onwards and upwards, Paul Farman, ever present since signing for Barrow, Lee Burge, tally doubled, Ross Doohan, all the way from Clyde Bank, Vitislav Jaros, threezy peasy. Pete Jameson, so is heezy. Jack Rose, these blanks are nothing but a breezy.
Very good, Richard. You ploughed your way through that one. We got some singing there too as well. I like that.
We did. Well, yeah, you did. You put those lyrics out there, didn't you? You just tempted
me. DJ Khaled, man. DJ Khaled.
You just reeled me in, didn't you? Reeled me in.
Just like you're in Vegas, standing on the table, swinging your bottles around.
There you go. You know how I roll.
The table as it stands, still on top, but just by one now. The gap be a closing. Freddie Woodman with 7 clean sheets in 10 games. One below him is Lawrence Vigouroux and Wes Fodderingham. Vigouroux has got 6 in 9, Fodderingham 6 in 10. So after Freddie Woodman's big start, that gap has closed. It is all to play for.
It has indeed. Hot on the heels, aren't they, just?
Right, well, that is pretty much it, Richard. A couple of bits of admin, plus some goalkeepers who have been on their way. The transfer window is, of course, no longer open, but it is for those unattached and those on emergency loan. So 3 goalkeepers have moved on short-term deals in the past week. Eldin Jakubovic has gone into Everton. Loris Karius has gone into Newcastle. That's until January, of course, in place of what would have been Ben Foster. And Will Jaskelainen has gone into AFC Wimbledon on a short-term deal.
Yeah, a couple of interesting ones there. Of course, with Everton, the decision made, given that Andy Lonergan was also injured, as well as Jordan Pickford, so they were left with just one senior goalkeeper. They did have Billy Krell in there, but they thought it best just to bolster the ranks. Good opportunity, that, for Will Jaskelainen. A little bit surprised he was without a club. You know, he's got 100 or so games behind him, but it just shows you it has been a really tough market for goalkeepers this summer. We've barely seen any money spent in terms of transfer fees outside of the top flight. And there's still quite a few goalkeepers out there at the moment who are unattached, who have good CVs to their name.
Okay, and we haven't spoken about Graham Potter moving to Chelsea because he has taken with him Ben Roberts, a goalkeeper coach who was hugely successful at Brighton, credited with the development of the likes of Matty Ryan, of Robert Sanchez, of James Beagle, of course, who's now in at Brighton as a young lad. He will be sorely missed, won't he, at the Amex, but it'll be interesting to see what he brings to Chelsea because he'll be working alongside existing goalkeeper coach Hilario.
Yeah, I think I've made this quite clear on previous pods that for me, he's very much in that elite category. You know, there's not many that I would class to be in that elite category, but he's certainly there. Just, and again, you know, there's a lot of goalkeeper coaches that have that potential, that promise. But what he's done is he's walked the talk and he's created an environment, created a structure at Brighton that is up there with the best in the world. You know, they're producing their own goalkeepers. It's so nice to see, and that's been years in creation. So what I would say is he's left Brighton in such a good place, and they have got some really good goalkeeper coaches there. So hopefully not much will change there, and no doubt he will now go and have his impact on Chelsea, which it's fair to say is already a good, very good goalkeeping department. You know, I think it's obviously got several goalkeepers out on loan at the moment. Nathan Baxter, Jamie Cumming being a couple of good examples. I don't think they've had a goalkeeper yet that's come all the way through and played in recent years. Probably the last one, Lenny Pidgley, maybe. Someone might be able to tell me someone else that's actually come through and played. So I guess that will be his goal now. Can he do what he did at Brighton? It's obviously a different challenge because Chelsea are a bigger club than Brighton. They're obviously a Champions League club, so it's that bit more difficult to bring a goalkeeper all the way through. But that will certainly be his aim.
And lastly, quite an interesting story from Australia over in the Australia Cup, where Oakley Cannons reached the semi-final, played against MacArthur, were soundly beaten, so won't be in dreamland in getting to that final. But in that semi-final second leg, with just minutes to play, they brought on a 14-year-old goalkeeper. So Ime Abili was brought on by Oakley Cannons for his professional debut. Of course, it would be as a 14-year-old. But interesting pictures because he looks tiny. I mean, we talk about the height of a goalkeeper quite a lot and say it's not an issue. But on this occasion, I think it would have been a slight issue.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing a lot of young players playing at the moment, by the way. I know we had the record in the Premier League yesterday, of course, in the Arsenal game. The lad coming on for Arsenal, 15.
Inwanyeri came on, yeah, just 15, nearly 16, but just 15. And then in Ireland as well, Christopher Atherton came on at 13. So, yeah, it seems to be the weekend for it.
Yeah, just breaking new territory. Won't be long before we, I don't know, see like a five-year-old. People just trying to beat each other, just bringing on a younger player over and over. But no, look, must have been an incredible moment for him at that age. No doubt he must be doing very well with the team that he's at and the level that he's at, for them to trust him even for a few minutes to come on and maybe give him that honour, because it is an honour to play at that age. That's quite a big thing to happen, big achievement. So yeah, massive well done to him.
Okay, Richard, that is us for another week. No doubt you've got plenty of calls to make and receive.
Busy, although not quite so busy. Now we're in September, a little bit more relaxed, but yes, plenty going on as ever.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers
away. Oh, wow.